going to continue, Lord willing, this afternoon. It's kind of a sub-series of a more general series. 1 Peter 2:21. Can everybody quote that? We're not finished. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. We're going to get right in to the fellowshipping the sufferings of Christ. I have brought out, it has been brought out, that following Jesus is not always a bed of roses. There are going to be trials, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be persecutions. There's going to be a cost to the flesh if we want to follow Jesus. And with the cost and with the suffering, the scripture, I believe we read it last week, that if ye suffer with him, ye shall also what? Ye shall also reign. So if we want to reign this afternoon with Jesus, we're going to have to suffer with him also. But I will find that there is pleasure and there is a joy to be found in suffering that you won't find any other place. I have found that in some of the deepest trials and persecutions and sufferings that I have gone through, I have found the reality of the presence of the Lord greater in those times than other times. And so, I'd like us to turn over into Hebrews in the 11th chapter. And those of you that know your Bible know what the 11th chapter of Hebrews is. Can someone tell me? I heard it. It's a faith chapter. And in the book, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it tells about all these wonderful answers to prayer and all these wonderful things that God has done. Being able to turn armies and the Red Sea being parted and the dead being raised. And that sounds like something wonderful, doesn't it? And we focus on those things, and that is part of serving the Lord. Those are some of the benefits, the victories that come from serving the Lord. But because of the nature of what we're studying, let's not forget the last part of the chapter. Let's turn over and begin reading with verse 34. It said, they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women raised their dead to life again. That all sounds real good, doesn't it? But we need to read on. He said, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now remember, Brother Cook referred to it, Nicomachus. Remember Nicomachus on the stretching rack? He would not, he was on the rack because of his faith in Christ, and at the very end, he recanted. And he gave up, and the 16-year-old girl that was there, she said, oh, I don't have the words in front of me this afternoon, but she said, oh, wretched man, she said, in essence, she said, you've escaped the pain for a moment for eternal misery. And then they took that 16-year-old girl and they cut her head off because of her faith in God. They overheard what she said. Understand that serving God, everybody's not going to always treat you right. You're not going to always have money in the bank. You're not always going to have good health. There are going to be difficulties that happen in life. And here it said others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Nicomachus wanted deliverance in this life, and so he recanted. I'm reminded of a story that I heard tell over in Russia. Many, many years ago, some of the police came in. They were not supposed to be worshiping or fellowshipping, worshiping God. And some of the police came into a place of worship, and they took all the people out and lined them up, and they were going to gun them down. And they took a picture of Jesus that was hanging, a picture they had of Jesus that was hanging, and they put the picture down, and they said, spit on that picture of Jesus. And one by one, the people in the congregation came by, and they spit on the picture of Jesus, hoping that they would not be shot. And there was a little girl that came up in tears running down her eyes. She took her skirt, she wiped off the picture, and she cleaned it up. And the police turned on everybody that had spit on that picture and shot them and left the others. those things do happen, but I want us to understand when we serve the Lord, there's going to be opposition. Opposition from family, opposition from friends, opposition from the world, and we're not always going to obtain deliverance in this life. But he went on to say others had trial of cruel mockings. You like being made fun of? I don't either. But understand that when we serve the Lord and follow Him, there's going to be some mocking sometimes. And scourgings, yet moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. Now, if you want to serve the Lord, it said they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They never received the deliverance in this life. And too often the focus of our prayers is, Lord, deliver me from the suffering. Whereas our prayer ought to be, Lord, use the suffering to glorify your name. Lord, would you remove this, but if not, see? And I believe that all of us, you all have some things you're going through you'd like the Lord to deliver you from today. I believe we all do, and it's not wrong to pray for it, but the focus of our prayer is, Lord, we want your perfect will to be accomplished. We want, and if God's will can be glorified through our suffering, shouldn't we say amen to that? And he said here, God having provided some better thing for us. Folks, God has provided something better for us. We may not experience it all today, but I want us to know if through the suffering that we face, through our service to the Lord, through self-denial, through taking up our cross, it's going to be worth it after a while. So let's not give in. Let's not recant. Let's not give in to peer pressure. You say, well, that's not suffering. But we like to be accepted. We like to fit into the group. That's normal. That's natural. But when let's be faithful to stand by ourselves, if we have to remain faithful to God. When our family goes a different direction. And that hurts when that happens. And when those that we worship with, if they go a different direction, folks, remain faithful to the Lord. When others say, you don't have to be that strict. You don't have to live that. You don't have to do that. Be faithful to what the Lord has revealed to you. Be faithful. You be the one to set an example of what it means to keep your faith in Jesus Christ. Over in Philippians, and we're just now getting here, and this is the third message on this subject. But in Philippians, in the third chapter, Paul was speaking, beginning with verse 7. He said, what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Now, folks, listen. Our righteousness, which is of the law, are all the do's and the don'ts. Live up to this standard, and you'll be good. He said, not having mine own righteousness. That's not our true righteousness, folks, does not come by adhering to a set of rules and regulations. But he said here, but that which is through the faith of Christ. That's talking about the personal relationship that's going on between you and God. And when you have a personal relationship with the Lord, there are going to be things you do and don't do. There are a set of standards that you will hold. There are do's and don'ts, but the foundation is the relationship that we have from God. And he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He said that we may fellowship, and that's been the title of this little sub-series, the fellowship of his sufferings. Are you willing this afternoon to count everything else but loss that you can win Christ? Well, I don't want to give this up. I'm going to hold on to this thing. You know, that's going to be the very thing that starts separating us from God. And we need to be willing to say, Lord, everything in my life, as a follower of you, it's all yours, Lord, and I will lose everything that I may win Christ. Folks, that ought to be the purpose and desire of every Christian. Too many people that are professing Christians, they want to claim the glory and the power and the blessings, but they're not willing to fellowship the suffering of Christ. If you're not suffering for Christ from time to time, you're probably not living for God. That's what it amounts to. When you serve the Lord, there's going to be some difficulties. And I want to address, and I'm afraid Devin was right when he put part four up there the other morning. But do you know that on this area right here, in that list, in the faith chapter, one of the sufferings that they experienced, we can talk about being stoned and our heads cut off and all those things, but one of the things that was listed in there was they were tempted. Anybody here been tempted to do something wrong? Do you think it would be interesting to take some time and go around this afternoon and everybody tell two or three of their temptations in the last week or month? Do you think you might be surprised? You were tempted what? Do you know that's the nature of temptation? Is that it's something that is a draw on the flesh that is contrary to what God wants us to do. So has anybody been tempted besides me this week or this month? Do you know that part of suffering, fellowshipping the suffering of Christ, is when we are tempted, saying no to it? By the grace of God, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to do that because I want to please the Lord. Well, in 1 Peter, in the first chapter, sufferings of temptation. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. He said here, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Are we willing to rejoice when we're tempted? You know, there's actually, have you ever just felt a real peace when you were really being tempted and you knew your heart was set, I am not going to yield? Have you ever experienced the peace that comes from that? And I want to tell y'all something. If you're not being tempted, you're probably just giving into it. Because, you know, this is something that the godly will have temptations. And temptations are when the flesh is drawn to do something that you know the Lord does not want you to do. That's a temptation. I've said before, you put a can of beer up here in front of me, that's not a temptation to me. I could care less about it. Stuff stinks. I see what it does. I don't want it. In the flesh, I don't even want it. But do you realize that someone that God has saved that maybe used to be an alcoholic, that would be a temptation? That makes them no less spiritual than anybody else. It's just that that's what draws them. All of us, folks, are tempted. But part of fellowshipping the suffering of Christ is enduring temptation without giving in. It's saying no to it. And I want to reiterate, do not feel or think that you're less spiritual because you're being tempted. Scripture here said, for manifold, you talk about manifold temptation being in heaviness. Have you ever just been in temptation over and over and over and the devil just would not leave you alone? You know, the devil is just mean. And there are times that the enemy will pursue and pursue and pursue. But folks, part of serving the Lord is, Lord, I'm not going to give in. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to love. I'm going to, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, he said, endure hardness as what? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Enduring or fellowshipping the suffering of Christ is to endure hardness. But I feel like, and I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase this, there are too many saints or Christians that can't endure very much hardship. They want a life of ease. Oh, if I'm going to serve the Lord, I want to be comfortable. I want my nice house, my nice car. I want my nice pew. That's my seat. I want my nice pew. And I want to come to service, feel warm and fuzzy, and go home and have my good job, and I'm serving the Lord. Do you realize that if we serve the Lord, now hereunto were we called because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we're to follow His footsteps in suffering? So if you haven't been suffering, there are some things the Lord's calling of you to do, because when you serve Him, there's going to be suffering. I think about how Brother Randy, I think it was maybe last week, without mentioning names, I think he had someone working for him one time, maybe, that he was supposed to teach, I think it was a man's son, he wanted to give him some hard work to do. And I think he didn't show up after the first day was about all he came to work, because the work was too hard. The sun comes out, the sweat starts going, there's hard work. It's like, oh, it's not worth it. Not come back the next day. Do you realize that too many people are looking for the blessings in serving God, but they're not willing to endure hardness? If you want the paycheck, you're going to have to work, get the work accomplished, folks. If we want the blessings among us individually and as a people, we're going to have to endure some temptation and some suffering. But too many times they say, oh, we shy away from the cross. And Paul said, I count everything but loss. What are you willing to give for the Lord this morning? What are you willing to do for Him? There is suffering that comes through temptation. So if you're tempted, if you will stay faithful, one day you're going to receive the crown of life. Isn't that right? So if you begin to get tempted this week, you ought to start thanking the Lord. The devil knows that I'm serving the Lord, and I'm being tempted not to. Thank the Lord. I know I'm serving Him because I'm not giving in. I believe me, there's been some temptations I had. It was hard to rejoice in for a while. But if we will recognize that temptation is part of the suffering of Christ. Temptation was. There is another aspect I want to address. And that is, as Christ left us an example of suffering, we're to follow His steps. And I'd like someone to answer this if you would. Why did Paul suffer? He said he was shipwrecked, he was put in prison, he was in bonds, he was naked, destitute. Why did Paul put himself through that? For what purpose? For the cause of Christ. Because Paul wanted someone else to know about Jesus Christ. And because he wanted to get the gospel out, he was willing to endure prison and stonings and all of the persecutions that Paul went through because he wanted to get the gospel out. Now, folks, is our call any different today? What are we willing to give to see the work of God advance? What are we willing to suffer or go through, endure? When we are at ease and there is no opposition, you know there's not a lot of spiritual growth. Spiritual growth comes through sacrifice. Spiritual growth comes through denying ourselves, putting forth our time, our money, and our energies towards the work of God. What are you, and this is personal, I hope this is okay. But what are you personally this afternoon willing to give for the cause of Christ to be advanced? How much time are you willing to spend? How much money are you willing to give? How much inconvenience, how much are you willing to be put out for the cause of Christ? Do you realize that Christ left us an example of suffering because He loved people around Him? That was the example that Paul... Renee and I were talking, I'm going to use her as an example, and I would do it if she were here this afternoon. I asked her if I could. It brought the point out very well. Before I get there have been those that have given their life that the cause of Christ could be advanced. There are people that we know personally that have died and given their life that people of other lands and other places would hear about Jesus. Is that, and there are people, then why would we say, well, was it really worth it? Is it really worth suffering? And I want to speak specifically to the mission field. Is it, why would you put yourself out? Why would you go lay on the hard ground with bugs running all over you? Why would you go to where you couldn't eat very good food and where there's no place to take a shower and you get smelly and dirty? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you go and put yourself out inconvenience and your life in danger? Why would people do that? It's because there's a greater call that someone needs to hear about the Lord. And I want to caution us this afternoon. I fear that too many times we're getting sedentary, and this is not, Lord help us, that if we're not careful, we can be too sedentary in our lifestyle that we're not willing to sacrifice for the cause of God. For one person to get soul, to get saved, at the expense of your life, would you do it? If you could go somewhere and tell them about the Lord and you knew you were going to die in going, but they'd get saved, would it be worth it? That's a question. Would it be worth it? I think it would be. I think it would be. Folks, this is what the Lord has called us to. Now, God has not called all of us to the mission field in a foreign land. But God has called all of us to give and do what we can to see the cause of Christ advanced. And that means there's going to be some physical pain. It means there's going to be some denial of self. Let me go a step further. It means there might be an inconvenience if we say, folks, we can have, there's an outreach, there's some people that might be interested in the truth, and they live 3 hours from Springfield. What about we go have service there? Oh, that's such an inconvenience. Isn't it? I mean, I'd like us just to come and have it right here. It's closer to home. It costs money. I mean, I would have to spend gas money to go have service 3 hours from here. And if the pastor starts talking about, let's go have service, there he goes again. Why can't we just have it here? Are we willing to be inconvenienced? This is not an accusation, y'all understand. This is an example. But are we willing to be inconvenienced? How much are we willing to put ourselves out? Say, it will cost me $20 to drive there and back, or $40 to $50, maybe. What? How much are we willing to be inconvenienced? Do you realize that this is what God has called us to? That there's going to be that's not even suffering. That's just a little bit of inconvenience. And I asked Renee, I was telling Renee, I said, well, what about local missions? See, when you talk about how many of y'all would be willing to teach some children in Honduras or Africa? Say, we'll have children, you can get a big group of children for them. We get hundreds of them if you want them. And you can have children's meet. You say, that would be a good thing, but I'm not able to go. But what about right here? What about where we live? What about having children's meeting and going out and knocking on some doors, inviting people? What if they reject me? So what? At least we did what we could. And we say, well, if all the children just come in, it doesn't happen by itself, folks. It's going to take some elbow grease, so to speak. It's going to take some shoe leather. It's going to take someone being willing to be rejected and someone say, we're not interested. It's going to take someone saying, I'll go pick you up and bring you. How much are we willing to suffer? I almost hate to use that word. How much are we willing to be inconvenienced? Drive 3 hours? What is 3 hours? What's $50? You say, well, that's quite a bit. I could probably find in your budget $50 if you want me to make some cuts somewhere. We could all do that in each other's budgets. The point isn't for me to do it in your budget nor you do it in mine. The point is, are we willing to make some sacrifices? And this is where my example with Renee, I ask her again. But I mentioned this about children's meeting here. I said, getting neighborhood children in? And she said, we can't afford it. And she was being serious because it's expensive and it costs. And I said, well, that's part of the cross. And I said, that's part of, you know, maybe suffering and denying yourself something to get the money to do that. She said, but we're already suffering. Suffer a little bit more then. You say, but there's no other needs, and you're giving and expending time and energy and money right here, and it seems like it all starts coming at once. Just keep on cutting. Keep on doing so. We can say, well, we won't do it now. You understand there are areas and places that if we were willing to put forward a little bit more, make some more personal sacrifices, be willing to give a little bit more of our time and our money, and it's easier to say, but I already gave, I'm already suffering, I couldn't really afford it. I couldn't either, but the Lord says, keep on doing it. So what are we going to do then? Lord, help us. Are we willing to fellowship His suffering? To where I'll deny myself in the things I want, in the things that are convenient to me. I'm willing to say no to them, that I can advance the cause of God. Isn't that what life is about this afternoon? I trust your heart saying amen. This is what the Lord's calling us to. If you can't go to the mission, if the Lord doesn't call you, don't go. You'll just cause problems if you do. Go if the Lord tells you to do it. But I know that there is a work for all of us to do in His kingdom. And it's going to take sacrifice. And when I give of my abundance, it is not sacrifice. Oh, I got a bonus today. I got an extra couple $100. Yeah, there's a need there. I'll give $100 of it. I feel pretty good. I'm putting $100 in. It was extra anyway. It wasn't a sacrifice. Sacrifice is when I needed it for myself, so I thought. And there came a need. The Lord said, all right, work it over. Yes, Lord. Because God will be faithful to minister in these other areas. Folks, we're talking about suffering now. And I'm not talking about being irresponsible and you just give all your children sitting at home hungry. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm saying it's going to come at an inconvenience to ourselves. I was planning to put that away for the future. Well, you can be a blessing to someone right now and let the Lord take care of the future. I also, there's some, the Lord's been just giving me so much, like I don't have time for everything, but I'll tell you. There's a place to put away for the future. The Bible teaches it. But what I want us to understand is that in the work of the Lord, there's some suffering involved. And if we're always just when I have some extra time or when it's convenient, I'll tell you, it's never going to be convenient. Renee told me, she said, you know, people that say, well, we won't go on the mission, but we'll just support it. How much are they supporting it anyway? You know, people that say that, it's an excuse, most usually. Well, we can't do anything. We'd rather stay in our comfort zone, and we'll support someone else to do it. Who's supposed to sacrifice? I am. You are. All of us together. Workers together. Why? Because of the cause of Christ. So are we willing to put our life on the line? Are we willing to do that today? Are we willing to give when it hurts that the cause of Christ could be advanced? Are we willing to sacrifice our time? Only you can answer that question. But folks, this is part of what it means to follow Jesus. You want the victories in your life? You're going to find it through self-denial and through suffering and giving of yourself when it hurts. So today we cover two main areas. One of them, part of enduring and fellowshipping the suffering of Christ, is staying true in temptation. And the second part is the suffering that comes through giving of ourselves and expending ourselves that the cause of Christ could be advanced. I encourage you to fellowship His suffering. There's going to be a part four. And we'll conclude that aspect of it, Lord willing. But I want us to know, folks, that this is the best way to live. This is the best way to live, is when you live not for yourself, but when you live following the example that Christ left. And yeah, it's hard on the flesh, but there's joy that's found there. There's victories.